Hey, this is Kyle Clark. You're listening to the podcast version of Next. Catch us live weeknights at 6 Mountain Time on 9 News and streaming live same time on 9 News Plus. Email me anytime at next@9news.com.
Newly released documents give us insight into the extremism of the Evergreen High School shooter. The 16-year-old surrounded himself with Nazi symbolism, despite his own Jewish heritage. Though his identity wasn't known at the time, the Anti-Defamation League had reported posts by the shooter to the FBI 2 months before the attack. Hundreds of pages of reports out from the Jeffco sheriff today show that investigators found a note in the gunman's bedroom written in German or Dutch that, quote, dealt with the author's negative views of Jewish people. In his bedroom, deputies found a knife in a tan sheath that had a silver Nazi eagle on its handle and drawings with suspected neo-Nazi symbols. That shocked a family member who told investigators that in their discussions that the gunman had Jewish heritage and that when they talked, quote, the sentiment was that Nazis were bad, what happened was bad, and that Jewish people are people like the rest of us. The new documents shed no light on one question, which is how the shooter got a revolver that was stored in a gun safe at the family's home. The teenager did not have the combination. The family of the accused Boulder firebombing suspect is out of immigration detention tonight, according to the family's attorney. The Trump administration went after the family of Mohammed Soleiman, despite presenting no evidence that they knew about or participated in the anti-Semitic attack on the Pearl Street Mall last year. The family's attorneys say the suspect's wife and five kids have had various health issues while in detention, and they believe that they are some of the longest detained people in the American immigration system. A federal judge in Texas ordered their release today after concerns about what a magistrate judge had called the government's aggressive tactics. The family's now released while their immigration proceedings play out on expired visas. Department of Homeland Security spokesperson said the administration is going to continue trying to deport the Soleiman family, saying that they're national security threats. Tonight, we get a little glimpse into the dystopian future. A Coloradan keeps getting pulled over because Flock surveillance cameras tell police he has an active warrant. He doesn't. But he can't convince the surveillance network to leave him alone. Our Spencer Soischer has that.
Over here, they zipped out of nowhere and immediately got behind me with the lights flashing.
There was no crime committed.
No, I don't have a warrant.
But Kyle Dosman is getting used to sitting in his car.
I don't think this warrant has been on this car for very long.
And answering questions.
I continually am getting pulled over. I can't really use my truck in any fashion.
Kyle made sure his dash cam was recording yesterday after Cherry Hills Village police officers pulled him over near the same area Saturday.
Hello. Oh, we got you last week.
Yeah.
For the warrant.
Oh.
I was driving through here yesterday, and I got pulled over again. It was actually by the same officer.
You need my license?
No. Okay. I remember you, man.
Okay.
The Cherry Hills Village Police say the Gilpin County Sheriff has a warrant out with Kyle's plate, and it was put on a Flock camera hot list.
Everywhere in the state, every time I pass a camera, they get alerts in their car that I'm in the area.
The Flock cameras did alert to his license plate being associated to a warrant.
Cherry Hills Village Police Chief Jason Lyon says when anyone with a warrant passes one of their Flock cameras, they get an alert, but that Kyle doesn't actually have a warrant.
Nobody should be stopped when there's no legitimate law enforcement purpose for that.
Kyle has called both the Gilpin County Courts and Sheriff's Office to get off the list, but they've told him he needs to know who the warrant is for, which nobody can tell him.
Yeah, all I know is I'm in this system now, and there's really no easy way to get out of the system once you're in it.
So he continues to drive around, fearing when he's going to be stopped for questions again.
I don't know what this guy did to get a warrant, so I don't really know what the police response is going to be.
The chief said Cherry Hills has now taken Kyle off its Flock hot list, but he can't remove Kyle from everyone else's. He believes the issue is because of a zero in Kyle's license plate number, and Colorado license plates have both O's and zeros. And sometimes when law enforcement communicates with the DMV about a warrant, they put in a warrant for both versions, the plate with an O, and then the version with a zero as well.
Why is it this dude's problem to get it fixed? And like, what's he supposed to do?
So I just heard back from the Gilpin County Sheriff that somehow this is actually a Colorado State Patrol warrant mismarked through the courts as Gilpin, as this guy keeps calling Gilpin to try to get any information. Gilpin told me they reached out to the court and CSP to get this fixed. I've been on the phone with CSP the last couple of minutes, got to them late, not their fault. We don't know.
Tell you what.
They're working on it.
It's confusing. It's also a little bit creepy, I'll just say. Spencer Swisher, thank you. The governor is getting more involved in the strike standoff between Sheridan School District and its teachers. This has gone on 3 weeks now. The union says its reps have been at the Capitol with district leaders and the governor's team since this morning. For almost a year, educators have been working without a contract. They want the contract reinstated and the union expanded to include more staff.
It has been. I never thought it would go up that far, honestly. But I'm happy if it gets us results and gets all the staff in our district the dignity and representation that they deserve as educators.
I've encouraged both sides to get to the table and just figure this out. If they can't figure everything out, that's fine. Let's just at least get the teachers back to the classroom, kids back to the classroom. Let's finish the year strong.
We've reached out to the district multiple times during the strike. They've ignored our requests to talk about what's happening. So Colorado's drought is so bad, our reservoirs are in retreat. Antero Reservoir in Park County will soon be bone dry, its water being sent down the hill to another reservoir closer to the metro area. Our Mark Salinger reports on the expected die-off of millions of fish at one of Colorado's best fishing spots.
It's hard to fathom a reservoir without water.
I can't even look out here and imagine what it's going to look like bone dry with that many dead fish.
It's even harder for Travis Sawyer to come to terms with his livelihood and favorite fishing spot being drained away.
The fact that it's going to be drained down to the bone, as she said, is, I mean, that's just absolutely heartbreaking, man. I'm kind of at a loss for words at it, actually.
Travis owns Kindred Anglers and has been fishing and guiding here his entire life.
This has absolutely become one of the most prominent fisheries in all of Colorado. I would say even the U.S. if you're a big brown trout fisherman.
But soon, that'll change. 1 week from tomorrow, the water in Antero Reservoir northeast of Buena Vista will begin flowing out of the dam. Denver Water says too much water evaporates from this reservoir because it's shallow. In a drought year like this, they're moving the water to a different reservoir to conserve it.
They're going
to
die. These fish are going to die.
I can tell you that since 2020, we have stocked 5.4 million fish into Antero.
Kara Van Hoos with Colorado Parks and Wildlife says they've instituted a fish salvage, as they call it. They've removed bag and possession limits to encourage people to come fish before the water drains.
Once water is drained out, those fish obviously need water to live, so otherwise they would all die.
The fish will still die either way.
We've enacted a fish salvage to hopefully put a little bit of a silver lining on the situation.
I just don't see how there isn't a plan to actually move these fish around.
Travis loves this water.
Me and my dad used to spend all day out here just walking the whole shoreline, throwing jerk baits all day just to catch one fish.
But soon, it won't be here.
Absolutely gut wrench. Like I said, this is my favorite place to actually come and spend all of my free time.
They'll start draining the water on May 1st. The last time that they drained this reservoir for a drought was back in 2002. It took several years for the fish to be restocked and become healthy again. I asked CPW how many fish are in the reservoir back here. It's hard to make that estimate, but they say likely millions. At a very windy Antero Reservoir for next, I'm Mark Salinger.
CPW says they're going to prioritize refilling that particular reservoir when Colorado sees more snow next season. And they say they'll also restock it with fish once that happens. Denver Water tells us that moving water out of Antero Reservoir is a race against time because the reservoir is especially quick to evaporate in the summer. It warms up quickly because it's shallow and wide. So we can show you an example. On the left, that is an aerial view of Antero. It has about three times the surface area of Cheeseman Reservoir, which is the image on the right. But Antero is only 18 feet at its deepest compared to Cheeseman's maximum depth of 221 feet. As a result, Antero has only a quarter of Cheeseman's capacity. Colorado sports fans will be going back and forth tonight as the Avs and the Nuggets play game threes at the same time. The Nuggets take on the Timberwolves in Minnesota at 7:30. Series is tied at 1. That game is on Prime Video. Tough blow for the Nuggets. Aaron Gordon not expected to play tonight. Then you got 30 minutes after the Nuggets tip, puck drop in Los Angeles as the Avs look to take a commanding 3-0 series lead on the Kings. This is requiring a higher level of technical difficulty in the switching than you might assume for a traditional simultaneous game scenario, because you got one game on Prime, the other one is on cable, so you could be facing some kind of like log-in, log-out situation at your home. You need to prepare now. I have confidence you can handle the back and forth. Don't lose focus. Don't get so caught up in the action of one game, you forget about the other. During this dry, windy week, fire is a real risk. We are tracking a fire that's prompting evacuations near Fort Collins. Colorado needs more folks to step up and fill a critical job watching our water, so they're offering free job training.
So in Colorado, Latin cuisine is really, really trending up, and we're going to be part of that.
A new culinary institute is offering Hispanic chefs a seat at the table. That's next. Right now, there's a wildfire in Fort Collins forcing people out of their homes. It's burning east of Horsetooth Reservoir on the western edge of the city. So people living west of Overland Trail, south of Elizabeth Street to Dixon Canyon, are under a mandatory evacuation order. There are voluntary evacuations for people living between Overland Trail and Taft Hill Road. We have a team up there now keeping track of things, and we'll keep you updated. Evacuation orders for a fire burning southeast of Colorado have now been, southeast of Colorado Springs have now been lifted. The Hammer Fire is burning near the town of Hanover, about 25 miles southeast of the Springs on the plains. The El Paso County Sheriff's Office says the fire's gone through about 5,000 acres, about 7 square miles, and at last report, it was 60% contained. Question, meteorologist Corey Reppenhagen, is when exactly will we start to get some help from the weather on this?
Well, in the immediate future here, in about 45 minutes, we'll get some relief as the fire weather warning for today will be dropped because the temperatures will go up, humidity will go up, and the winds will die down just a little bit. But they'll be back tomorrow. Long range doesn't look great. Here's the current wind gusts we're seeing up here near Fort Collins, 17 miles per hour. We have seen 20 to 40 miles per hour gusts during today and yesterday. So that's some good news. This fire weather warning will be dropped here in about 45 minutes, but it's already going to come back. So the third consecutive day with fire weather warnings in the Front Range in the Denver metro area will start at 11 o'clock tomorrow. Temperatures will be just a little bit warmer. Humidities will be just a little bit further down. So a little bit more concerned with fire weather tomorrow than what we saw today, but that'll go all the way until 8 p.m. tomorrow. Then we have a cold front coming in after the sun goes down on Friday. Then here's some better relief. Temperatures down in the 60s, a chance for rain, isolated showers on the Front Range on Saturday. So not all of us are going to get to see that. On Sunday afternoon, a little bit better of a chance. So about half of us could see a little bit of measurable rain on the Front Range. Same thing on Monday night. So we do have rain and cooler temperatures in the forecast, and that extends all the way into the week. Wednesday and Thursday, it does look like we're going to see some more cooler temperatures and some more rain chances.
Members of Colorado's congressional delegation are introducing a bipartisan bill to expand water access for Colorado's tribes. The tribes have some of the most senior water rights on the Colorado River, but they don't all have the infrastructure to keep the water flowing on the reservations. Democratic Senators Michael Bennett and John Hickenlooper are teaming up with House Democrat Brittany Pedersen and House Republican Jeff Hurd for what they're calling the Western Tribal Water Act. They say tribal communities in the upper Colorado River Basin need about $100 million to get their water infrastructure up to date, but those needs are not being prioritized under existing federal water programs for tribal communities. The bill would reauthorize those federal programs through 2028 and boost their funding by about $60 million. The bill also highlights 10 drinking water projects in the upper river basin that would be prioritized for new funding. There is a shortage of workers to help keep our drinking water and environment healthy. So there's a new program in southwestern Colorado hoping to recruit a new workforce. The free training program at Fort Lewis College in Durango introduces participants to a variety of career paths in the industry, like water plant operations, lab work, engineering. The training was put together by water professionals, tribal utilities, and state agencies. The Four Corners Water Center at the college says that nationwide, the industry is facing a wave of retirements, and that's creating a high demand for workers.
our goal is to really get people interested in the career, and then also connect them with a network of water operators in our region who can help them navigate the next steps of getting an internship or getting a job, and also getting those certifications that they need.
The program is for all ages, high school and older, runs every Thursday through May, free to the public, and there's still spots available. Great Latin cuisine starts with hiring great Latin chefs. A new culinary institute in town is recruiting them early. And a reminder, you can catch Next streaming each night, 6 p.m. on 9 News Plus. And Next is a podcast, which might lead you to miss some things this evening. A commercial kitchen sitting idle in Adams County is now helping to train the next generation of chefs and restaurant owners. Our Byron Reed has that.
Cooking takes collaboration.
This is the Denver Burrito Project, one of our projects we're going to bring to life.
For John Jaramillo, it transforms meal preparation into a shared experience.
We've maintained, sustained our goals of educating and elevating people.
Jaramillo is the co-founder and president of Colorado's Hispanic Restaurant Association. His group is helping to cook up opportunities on the third floor of the Adams County Human Services building.
Well, because people need food, they need good training, and we can lower all those costs through entrepreneurial training, through culinary training, through workforce development training.
The association helped launch the Hispanic Culinary Institute to create a pipeline of students who want to learn the art of cooking.
The goal behind it is just to provide hope long-term, and you need people to fill that pipeline, and they're right here.
The association opened the space with food vendors, ranchers, and Adams County commissioners.
And it's such a wonderful partnership, whether it's with our cities, our municipalities, our school districts, the Colorado Beef Council, our farmers.
Lynn Baca is a Democratic commissioner in Adams County. She believes it's about workforce, culture, and community connection.
42% of our population identifies as Latino Hispanic. And when we found that out through the data, is really caused us pause of what does service delivery look like? What does building businesses and supporting our schools look like?
The program focuses on culinary training, small business, and workforce readiness for young entrepreneurs and high school students.
We're sending students over here for the real world hands-on application of what they're learning in the classroom setting. And then from there, we send them off to Adams County restaurants.
The partnership hopes the center becomes a pathway to feeding talent right back into the community.
Make my own business, selling burgers, making sure people are fed.
For Next.
Oh, it's amazing.
I'm Byron Reed.
Makes you hungry for a burger. We are back with your feedback. Oh, you look sharp.
Ooh, nice jacket on you too.
Feedback next. All right, folks, you know the challenge tonight. You have got the Nuggets game at 7:30 in Minnesota against the Timberwolves. That game is on Prime. Then at 8 o'clock, the other game three in town, Avs versus the Kings in LA. That game is on TNT. You're going to have to switch back and forth. There's no way that you can do both at once. That would just be crazy. Ross in Loveland says, as a public service tip, flipping between the Avs and the Nuggets game should be as easy as switching the TV's HDMI inputs. That's just two clicks on the TV remote. Ross, you just lost half the audience with that. I understand what you're saying, but this is going to be very technical for folks this evening. Tim says, me and my spouse are watching the program tonight. We don't use recreational substances, but your blazer keeps changing colors. Deanna says, took me a minute to make sure I wasn't going crazy. You may be, Deanna. See you next time.
Thanks for listening to the podcast version of Next. Catch us live weeknights at 6 Mountain Time on 9 News. Streaming live, same time, on 9 News Plus. Email me anytime at next@9news.com. Next producer is Mallory Harris. Our digital producer is Marilyn Moore. Our visual editor is Jeff Sartell. Our reporters include Marshall Zellinger, Mark Salinger, Angeline McCall, and Evan Kruel. Misty Montano is 9 News' digital director. I'm Kyle Clark. I'll see you next time.